I know you're out there. I know that you're afraid. You're afraid of us. You're afraid of change. I don't know the future. I didn't come here to tell you how this is going to end. I came here to tell you how it's going to begin. I'm going to hang up this phone, and then I'm going to show these people what you don't want them to see. A world without rules and controls, without borders or boundaries. A world where anything is possible. Where we go from there is a choice I leave to you.
The Chris Ann Hall Show.
Any varmint that crosses that lady's path has met its match.
Come on!
Rise and shine, liberty-loving patriots. Welcome to the Chris Ann Hall Show. Chris Ann Hall here, KRISANNEHALL.com. Ooh, I'm getting better at spelling my own name. Just teasing. It's a beautiful morning, and it's great to be here. You know, my morning routine is a little different every day, but there's one consistent thing that I do as I prepare for the show. I scan over the news. I scan over what's going on internationally, what's going on locally. I scan over the headlines and the stories, and I see what people are talking, what the media is talking about. And you know, this show is not about ranting and raving. This show is about taking contemporary issues and making constitutional training. And so, I mean, that's what I try to do. Take things that are relevant, that are trending, and use them as teaching tools. But it is becoming so difficult to do that these days because nobody talks about anything new. I mean, it's the same old stories. I am not going to talk about presidential candidates, okay? Come on now, people. What? Let me ask you something. If your neighbor talked about you as much as the American public talks about presidential candidates, you would be going, creepy. This is like stalking. This is a sickness, America. This obsession, this sick obsession with presidential candidates. I mean, seriously, number one, it's this complete distortion of who the president actually is. I mean, really, the president is not the leader of America. The president is not even the leader of Washington, D.C. At this point, what we have now is a presidential office who is the leader of his political party. And so we have to get this whole presidential thing back in its proper perspective and stop focusing on this so much. There are so many important things going on in the world around us, and that's all we can talk about. I wonder, a presidential candidate who is controversial and consuming all the media, does he know that he's distracting people from things that are important? I mean, seriously, I don't even pay attention to presidential elections anymore because it's worthless. I don't care which person leads the party. And there's not going to be a single person chosen by the people who's going to make any difference. Because we have all been brainwashed into this lesser of two evils mentality, and that somebody on the extreme, you know, those radical constitutionalists who want to end the IRS and defund the EPA, those kind of radical thoughts who want to put guns back in the hands of law-abiding citizens and want to get the federal government out of our states. Those radical people couldn't possibly win. Well, you're right, because we believe those positions to be radical. Because those positions are no longer constitutional. They're radical. You see how far we've come when the very principles embodied in our Constitution are determined to be radical, so we can't even elect people who focus on the Constitution. Now, we'd rather focus on things that have absolutely no effect on our lives whatsoever, about two famous people breaking up and no longer being married. How many people in America stop being married? I mean, why do we care about these celebrities being married? Why do we care about these celebrities having affairs? I read today an article on Politico, I think it was. Nope, sorry, it was HuffPo. That there is this website called Ashley Madison. And it's a website where people, married people, go online to date other married people. It's a secret infidelity website. And according to HuffPo, you can see this website on Hannity, Howard Stern, Time, Business Week, Sports Illustrated, Maxim, USA Today. Hannity, this good Christian man, how does he have a website called Ashley Madison where people, a married dating service for married individuals? The interesting thing is, it was hacked. And 37 million members are going to have their identities leaked. Yes, 37 million people are members of Ashley Madison's I'm Married, You're Married, Let's Have a Fling website. So why are we so crazy about people who are famous doing this stuff when your next door neighbor is doing it, maybe even with your spouse? So look, this is something that we've got to break free from, this sickness, and start focusing on things that are really, really, really important. Really important. Like the government, completely out of control. And what we can do to fix it. You know, there are things that we can do. And it's not voting. Okay, let's just be clear. Voting is not one of the things that we do that fixes the government. Voting is our minimum duty as members of a republic. Every time we have an opportunity to vote, every single time, is our minimum obligation as members of a republic. The problem is that we have just simply given up our membership of a republic and simply resolved ourselves to be in some type of oligarchy or some type of totalitarian regime. We don't vote. So we think that we're doing something spectacular when we vote. We don't even do the minimum. So when we step up and do it, we've done our bit. No, I'm sorry. You have not. John Philpott Curran said, "It is the common fate of the indolent to see their liberty stolen by the active. The condition upon which God grants liberty to man is eternal vigilance. That condition, if broken," he says, "servitude is his punishment and the immediate indication of his guilt." Immediate. Immediate. We are servants to our government now. We refuse to say things to disrupt them and upset them. I had a conversation with a lady cutting my hair about the Confederate flag. And she said, "Well, isn't the Confederate flag what's going on simply the people censoring themselves?" Well, I would say so, yes, if the government wasn't banning those flags on their property. Well, they're not banning the flags on our property, she says. I said, well, that is true, not yet. But the point is this. If the government is banning some form of speech, how quickly will you be able to use that speech if it's what you believe in? What if you believe that men don't hate because of flags? What if you believe that there is a history that needs to be told with that flag? What if you believe, I don't know, radically speaking, in the fight that is symbolized by that flag? Which, by the way, was not really about slavery. And so now you have the government openly condemning some form of speech and all speech associated with that flag, to the point that the public is outraged when it sees it. You see how this government is leading us into self-censorship and our own servitude. Because as Madison said, We have a right to our property, but we also have a property in our rights. And when our property is not secure, then no right is secure. Your opinions, your faculties, or everything are not secure. Why? Because if the government has the power to take your property, then your speech will be censored by you in order to save your property. That's how that works. See, government banning speech on their property just simply leads us to censor ourselves so that we will not be afraid that the government will come after us. I mean, Barack Obama gave some interview and said, oh, the IRS was never targeting conservatives. They're just underfunded. That man has a sickness. I really believe that. I believe that man is clinically insane. Number one, for him to repeat what people are telling him to repeat that are complete flat-out lies. Anybody who would be willing to do that has to be sick in the head because, you know, he's got to look out and say, hey, wait a minute. These people have seen all these facts. These people know what happened. I mean, our HHS has admitted that this happened. How can I possibly go on a public forum and claim that it didn't happen? People will think I'm crazy. And yet, he's able to do it with a straight face and assume that people won't think he's crazy. Well, I'm sorry. I think he's crazy. And I don't mean to insult the people out there who are dealing with real psychological issues. But Barack Obama is clinically not in possession of his mind. And the people that control him, seriously, must not be either. And so, what we want to talk about today is some things that are going on. And how about we address some ways to fix them? Because the most common question I get as I teach is, Chrisanne, we know something's wrong, but what can we do? There are lots that we can do, and we'll talk about that today.
Chrisanne Hall Show. She's Liberty's lobbyist.
All right, so we've been talking about, through the history of this show, many, many things that the federal government is doing that they should not be doing. The IRS should not be collecting taxes from the individuals. The EPA has no reason to has no constitutional authority to exist, neither does the FDA, the Department of Education, the Department of Energy, Department of Interior, and all these lists. They have no constitutional authority to exist. And this Iran deal, which some are talking about, although it's not getting a whole lot of things going on, this Iran deal certainly does not constitutionally exist. The president has no authority to make any type of treaty or agreement outside the Senate. It is a very important check and balance that was established in order to make sure that our president does not become king. And the fact that we have an agreement that Congress is even considering honoring is just insanity. And the fact that we have an agreement created only by the president, and maybe perhaps Congress is thinking about creating legislation to overturn this agreement, is completely ridiculous. Because the constitutional remedy is simply this. Hey, President of the United States, you are not king. You do not get to make decisions for the whole body of the people. As a matter of fact, President of the United States. You were vested with less power than the Congress by our Constitution, and because of that, you can't make any decisions on your own. Nothing! Nothing! The President, who is the Commander-in-Chief of the military, cannot even go to war constitutionally without that of the Congress. Oh, what about the War Powers Act? Hello. Last three letters of that title. Act. It's an act contrary to the Constitution. Therefore, it's not valid. The only war power that is constitutionally in existence is the power that has been delegated by the Constitution that says, hey, if we're going to go to war, you have to have a formal declaration of war from Congress. The President is not the commander of war. He is the commander of the military upon declaration of war. By the way, go read the Federalist Papers. That was one of the distinctions made by the Federalists. Hey, he can't be called a king. He cannot exercise the power of the king because guess what? He has no power, no authority like a king because he can't do anything without Congress. He cannot make treaties without two-thirds the Senate. He cannot go to war without a former declaration of Congress. All of these things, they said, are the powers of kings. Our president does not have the power of kings because we have limited him in that power. And so here you go. The limitations set into place. And Congress will not act as their check and balance. I want to talk about check and balance. This is absolutely hilarious. I mean, it's sickening hilarious. I hate to even talk about it because it's a reality. I don't want to talk about this, okay? But you got to see what this is. President Obama's Immigration and Customs Enforcement Director, according to Breitbart and according to C-SPAN, tells lawmakers that no consequences are planned for sanctuary cities until Congress first passes, quote, comprehensive immigration reform. So we're having this committee hearing again. Oh, my goodness. A congressional hearing in which our congressmen are asking ICE, why aren't you doing your job? David Vitter of Louisiana says, this has been going on for years, and you're still not prepared to say that there's ever going to be any negative consequences to those jurisdictions? Then when is that going to change? Saldana, the director of ICE. The irony of that. I presume when you all address comprehensive immigration reform, perhaps it can be addressed there. It is ridiculous. We have to create laws to reform laws so that you will enforce laws? How does that make any sense? We don't need immigration reform. We need immigration enforcement. And this is what Congress ought to be doing. And if they refuse, the people ought to be doing it themselves.
The Chris Ann Hall Show. She's Liberty's lobbyist.
So something really productive is happening. What can we do? So we had a tragic shooting at our recruiting center. So what's happening? People, private citizens, are standing in front of their recruiting centers, armed and protecting their recruiters. Hey, the military can't protect themselves anymore. And the government refuses to allow them to do that. So what do when the government refuses to do a job that they're supposed to be doing? We do it ourselves. Don't you know this could happen with immigration reform as well? I think that the people of the states should be taking care of their own sanctuary cities. If the federal government is not going to enforce immigration laws, then the people should do it themselves. I bet that the people in those surrounding cities, I bet there are people within those sanctuary cities who do not agree and do not want illegal immigrants in their cities. I bet there are plenty of people in those areas who wish that who want the law to be enforced and for people to follow the law when they're coming to this country. So here's something that we can do, America. We can do as they're doing in front of the recruiting centers. We can get together and start protecting our own borders. Novel idea, right? How about that? How about we start getting together en masse and start protecting our own borders? Crazy, crazy, novel idea. Imagine that. Completely out of control. Totally lawless. Refusing to follow the law. Refusing to do what's right. And I'm not talking about the people. I'm talking about the government. We've got to realize that people standing outside businesses, protecting them with their own bodies, with their own efforts, is not lawless. The reason they have to do that is because the government has become lawless. And we're simply enforcing the law when the government refuses. So you want something to do. All those to preserve liberty and restore the government and the republic. See, the problem is, I think that we understand what there is to do, but it's more than voting. And it takes a little bit more sacrifice. And it takes a little bit more risk and effort than we're ready to do at this point in time. We haven't lost enough to drive us to the point where we want to do something that is completely following the law and enforcing the law. So here's what you do. Do like they did in Southern California when they were going to bus in all the immigrants there, and they created roadblocks, and they said, no, we're not going to let this happen. I think that we should have permanent patrols on our borders. Permanent patrols funded by citizens, performed by citizens. I mean, you know, we're providing these illegal immigrants with work permits, medical benefits, housing, all of this stuff provided to the illegal aliens funded by our tax dollars. We don't have any right to be outraged by that while we continue to pay for it. So instead of, you know, just complaining, why don't we start protecting our own neighborhoods and our own borders? It would take a lot fewer people to start guarding cities than it would be to guard entire state borders. So on an individual level, on a city level, on a community level, you start guarding yourselves. And you simply say, no, I'm sorry. If you are an illegal immigrant, we're not going to allow you into this city. It's not going to happen. And then you have to be willing to block their entrance. And simply refuse. I have a sneaking suspicion that the illegal immigrants are not willing to do what's, necessary to stand against a bunch of people standing in protection of their own cities. But these are the things that we're going to have to do. Because all Congress is going to do is have a congressional hearing. And be outraged and use words like ridiculous. I don't understand this. We can get outraged that the director of ICE, Sarah Saldana, doesn't want to enforce immigration laws? How many, and I don't mean to be, you know, sort of stereotyping and racist in this, but let's do an investigation on Saldana. Does she have any family members in this country who are illegal immigrants? Any friends who are illegal immigrants? Why don't we do some personal investigation and find out what her motivation is to refuse to enforce the law? Wouldn't that be a valid investigation? But no, we just have to simply have congressional hearings that are dog and pony shows and do nothing. When the bottom line is this, Congress, when the bottom line is this, Senator David Vitter, a Republican of Louisiana, you could stop this right now. I mean, seriously, you could defund ICE. Oh, but that wouldn't help. Oh, yes, it would. You defund ICE, you clear house, and then you establish that the states will enforce their laws. You see, the interesting thing is that the Constitution only gives the federal government the power to create uniform laws. It is up to the states to enforce those laws. And when the states refuse to enforce those laws, they would never refuse to enforce them as a whole if they're legally established. Then they start governing the other states. So California, as a state, will not enforce the immigration laws. Then you know how you deal with that? The other states stop trading with California. The other states stop allowing free transportation, you know, free flow of transportation from California. And the other states say, look, you get your immigration population under control, and we'll start doing business with you again. And we'll start doing allowing your people to come into our state and do business and vacations and that thing. But until you stop allowing people to violate our immigration laws, we're not going to allow you to participate in our commerce. I mean, we can block Chick-fil-A for their things. Why can't we boycott the state of California for refusing to enforce immigration laws? I mean, we went crazy over allowing Indianapolis to have the NBA finals. So why can't we block California for not enforcing the law? I mean, these are the things that we can do. We can even do them as private business people. Refuse to trade with California, refuse to do anything. Boycott California until they will enforce the law. Meanwhile, Congress should be defunding ICE and making Sarah Saldana unemployed. But they're not going to do that because they're all about just simply complaining. Case in point. All right, we've seen these terrible things happening with Planned Parenthood. I mean, it's horrifying, the videos. It's horrifying, the testimony. So why are we funding them? Your tax dollars are funding Planned Parenthood. Planned Parenthood, who are selling baby parts for research. Right. How interesting is that? You're funding that. There is federal funding going to Planned Parenthood. How do we allow that? Because we don't engage in our duty as citizens by withdrawing our funding when we don't agree with how it's spent. John Boehner said in a statement to Breitbart, "This new video is as sickening, disturbing, and callous as the last video. It's now clear that Planned Parenthood allows this horrifying conduct to happen throughout its organization." So, Boehner is outraged. He is sickened. He is disturbed. He realizes this is a lack of all moral conscience. So Boehner is now working on legislation right now in the House to defund Planned Parenthood. Because you know the House, with a simple majority, can defund any activity of the federal government. So right now, John Boehner, in his outrage, is meeting with leaders of the House of Representatives in their Republican majority to defund and repeal all federal funding from Planned Parenthood. Right? No. That's not what he's doing. He's calling on Barack Obama to fix the problem. That's what he's doing. He is calling on Barack Obama to fix the problem. He's called on Congress to investigate the practices. But he's asking Obama to denounce these horrific practices. He's not even asking him to control them. He's asking them to denounce them. And this is all the leader of the House of Representatives can do? Because Congress is complicit. Because they direct all this funding. And the House, I want to say this very boldly, the House of Representatives, every single one of them, is paying for the abortion of babies and the selling of their parts. And they ought to be ashamed of that. With every budget that they pass that allows this funding, they are holding the scalpel and the vacuum in their own hands. And this is what they need to know. This is what they need to see. The blood of Planned Parenthood is on the hands of every single House rep who votes for a budget that funds this house of horrors. And that's something that we can do. We can hold that to their face and make them ashamed.
My right to tote the weapon of my choice. Don't censor my voice. Hate me if you won't, or love me if you can. If the truth is what you want, then you found your man. I ain't backing down, I ain't backing up. If you think like I think, then crack it on up.
I won't back up, I don't back down. I've been raised up to stand my ground. Take my job, but not my guns. Tax my tent till I ain't got none. Except for the good Lord up above. I answer to no one.
Chris Ann Hall Show. She's Liberty's lobbyist.
So, our framers, in order to have their grievances redressed, engaged in a number of actions that are still available to us today. They protested. They boycotted. They created underground markets to provide for the things that the government was mandating that they purchase through the government. So, Uber, okay? Uber is a representation of something that our framers did. The government mandates and creates monopolies for cab services. No, you can't have a cab unless the government approves you have that cab, and then you are mandated to use that cab service that is approved by the government. That's the exact same thing that the British government was doing to our framers. Mandated purchases. You can only buy the linen, lumber, sugar, paper, and ink that we have mandated, and creating monopolies. And that's exactly what has happened in our cities. We have monopolies of cabs. Oh, okay, so we have different cab companies. No, but the monopoly is the government. It's a government monopoly of cabs. They own the cabs. No, they don't. They're privately owned. Yes, they do own them. Because the minute that cab company does not want to comply with what the government says, the government shuts them down. Those cab companies don't own their cabs. They possess them as long as the government wants them to. Uber is the perfect example of what our framers did when the government mandated purchases. No, fine. We won't purchase your mandated items. We will create a resource for those items on our own. So we need to have Uber taxi. We need to have Uber health insurance. We need to have Uber car insurance. We need to have Uber hospitals. We need to have Uber everything. Privately owned businesses who refuse to be licensed and maintained by the federal government. Uber colleges. We have a few Uber colleges who refuse federal funding and federal regulation. We need Uber states. We need Uber states. States who refuse federal funding and federal regulation. That would be awesome if Uber actually inspired entire states. Not only that, we have an anti-Iran rally expected to draw thousands in Times Square. The problem with our rallies is this. They are rallies. They are not protests. Rallies encourage the troops to keep fighting. Protests do something entirely different. You see, our framers' protests were mock hangings of their tax collectors. Yeah, they stuffed up like scarecrow people, dressed them up like their tax collectors in uniform, and then hung them from trees. They had mock funeral processions, marching down the streets with coffins, with effigies of their customs agents and tax collectors on the sides. See, those are protests. Those strike fear and shame in the hearts of the people who are violating the laws and liberties of the people. This rally will have no effect, because it's not about numbers. You can have 4 million people show up, and the government will simply dismiss it. Because 4 million people in Times Square has no effect to override the lobbyists sitting in the lap of your congressman. No, what you need to do is have rallies that make them ashamed. Rallies in their offices, right? Occupy their offices with photos of aborted babies being sold on the internet. And let them know, if you vote for a budget that funds Planned Parenthood, this blood is on your hand. Hold rallies in their offices of photos of people being murdered and mutilated by illegal immigrants and then being prosecuted and let go. Make them ashamed of what they're doing. You need to bring this home to them. That's how this works. These are the things that we can do, but we have to hit the streets. We have to get our local governments to back out of federal funding. We have to get our states to back out of federal funding, and we need to make them ashamed of what they're doing. Your local governments are just as complicit with Planned Parenthood by accepting the funding from the federal government. And it's about time they're ashamed to do that. We have the power to do that. We are the light. It's time for us to step up and do that. God bless. See you tomorrow. Get in our way.